At this time, the young children may go with Mrs. Rocco for their own message. It's just not fair. How often have we heard that? And how often have we said it ourselves? Usually, the phrase, "it's just not fair," is said by the person or the persons on the losing end of a deal. Whatever that deal might be, it could be an earlier bedtime than your older sisters, a smaller portion of the chocolate cake, losing out on the last piece of pizza, or maybe a referee who somehow didn't quite see the fouls that were committed by the other team. If you spent any time around children, you've certainly heard the cry of, "it's just not fair." Being with your brothers and sisters or with other children on the playground, one of the lessons that children learn growing up is that life is rarely, if ever, fair. That is, unless if you're on the winning side. Now things are different. Now the later bedtime is seen as your right. The bigger piece of cake or the last piece of pizza is now a pleasant surprise, and that referee simply had a discerning eye, and the other team are just a bunch of sore losers. It seems that oftentimes the concept of fair is really based on which side you end up on, the winning side or the losing side. In our gospel for today, it seems that Peter has ended up on the losing side. Jesus shuts him down and actually calls Peter Satan. And only because Peter just wanted to protect Jesus. He wanted to protect his master from harm, from suffering. To be called Satan certainly seems unfair. Last week, if you recall, Peter was a winner. Last week, when Jesus asked his disciples what they thought or who they thought he was, Peter spoke out and gave a beautiful confession. "You are the Christ," Peter said, "the Son of the living God." And in response to that statement of faith, Jesus tells Peter, "Blessed are you." He tells Peter that on that very confession of Jesus as the Christ, he will build his church, and that the gates of hell itself will not prevail against it. That was a winning moment for Peter. But now this week, how could Jesus make such a harsh response to Peter's well-intentioned reply? "Seriously, Jesus, you're going to call him Satan?" All Peter said was that he didn't want you to suffer and die. To call him Satan seems a bit unfair. But what Peter didn't understand was that Jesus needed to make something perfectly clear. And that can be found in the very first verse of our gospel reading, verse 21. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." Must is an important word here. What does it mean for Jesus to be the Christ? It means that Jesus must suffer, be killed, and be raised. These events had to happen to redeem the world from sin. If Peter had gotten his wish and kept Jesus away from the chief priests and the scribes, if Peter had kept Jesus off the cross, there would have been no salvation. Peter, the other disciples, you and I would be utterly lost, and Satan would have won. And of course, we are much like Peter. I would go so far as to say that we would have answered Jesus in much the same way. Similar to as Peter did, we probably would say, "Suffer and die, Lord, that cannot be right. You are the Son of God. You're the Christ. You're our Master. For you to die would be unfair. Why don't you just sit tight and wait for all this death nonsense to blow over?" And that does sound like a safe alternative to all the whippings, the blood, the spitting, the nails, the thorns, and the spears. But it is not the way of Christ. And it is not the way of the cross. To just sit tight and skip the cross is the subtle, tempting, and worldly way of Satan. But the way of the cross is, in fact, Jesus' way, and it is our way too. We have been united with Christ in our baptisms, united into his death and into his resurrection. We no longer act as Satan would have us. Yes, it seems unfair in the eyes of the world, but it is the way of Jesus. A quick rereading of today's epistles from Romans shows just how unfair, by the world's standards, the way of Christ really is. Romans tells us that the way of Christ is a way of sacrifice, a way of forgiveness, and it's a way of humility. It is a way of blessing our enemies and leaving vengeance up to the Lord. It is a way that we oftentimes need to be reminded of with harsh words. And that is just what Jesus does with Peter today. Jesus sets him straight. And while Christ is setting Peter straight with harsh words, he is actually doing Peter a huge favor. He is focusing Peter, and he is focusing us on what it will take to make all of us winners. He makes it clear that victory over this sinful, unfair, and broken world will only come through Christ's bloody death on the cross and his glorious resurrection. Quite honestly, this is the most unfair transaction in all of history, that Jesus gives up his life so that we can have life everlasting. Now, from this point on in Jesus' ministry, he focuses on what must take place on that hill outside of Jerusalem, what he must do to save not only Peter and the other disciples, but the entire world. It is an unfair mission, but it is the Jesus way of doing things. It is the way of sacrifice, and it is the way of loss. It is the way of the cross. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Son of Man, second person of the Trinity, was the only one who could overcome this sinful world and open for us the doors of heaven. Only he could fulfill all righteousness and pay off the deadly debt of sin. Only Jesus could give up his life so that we can have life everlasting. This sinful world continues to be incredibly unfair. Satan continues to prowl like a roaring lion, and he tears at our hearts and at our emotions. He continues to whisper in our ears, and he constantly works to keep us far from the cross of Christ. He works to make us feel like losers. But our Lord knows this. He knows it very well. He knows the pain that this unfair world can bring. He knows it so well because he experienced it all himself. The pain of loss and the pain of separation. The pain of loneliness, the pain of sorrow. The pain of beatings, whippings, spittings, thorns, nails, the pain of death. And he experienced all of this for us, for you, for me. He experienced all of this and overcame it so that Satan would not win and so that we would not be on the losing side. Through his death and his resurrection, Christ conquered the old evil foe. He rose again on that bright and glorious Easter morning, and Satan was crushed forever. Try as he might, and I know he tries so hard, Satan remains the loser. Christ was, and he is, victorious. And as his children, we are victorious too. We are on the winning side for all eternity. Christ gives up his life so that we can have life everlasting. It's just not fair, and that will continually be said. We will constantly hear it's just not fair by both children and adults alike, as long as we live here in this sin-broken world. It will be said by those on the losing side of any number of transactions and events. It will be said with all the pain and sorrow that goes with loss. But not here. Not here as church. Not here surrounded by his gifts of word and sacrament, surrounded by Jesus' very presence. Here we will say it's just not fair, but we will say it as winners. Here we look to our Lord and we will humbly pray. It's just not fair, Jesus. It's just not fair that you should suffer and die in my place for me, a sinner. It's just not fair that you should love me so much that you took all my sins to the cross. And for your all-encompassing sacrifice, we give you all glory, laud, and honor. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we ask you to please fill out the red pew folders as our ushers come forward for the offering.